afternoon, Ray.
Good afternoon, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, it's morning for some people. It could be morning for a lot of people.
For us, right now, it's afternoon.
For us, it's afternoon.
Yeah. So, yeah. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
So today, you know what I'm going to ask you. The same thing I always ask. And this one, because I suffer from the affliction, this category is... it's got to be more clothing.
Yeah,
or something.
Bam, you got it. Clothing.
Clothing.
More clothing. I don't
guessed
know
it
how
just
many...
for my two. I don't even know your two.
Exactly. I don't know if it's part two or part three, clothing-wise. But yeah, clothing. More clothing.
Yeah, we'll work out the two or three.
It's irrelevant.
Yeah. So what do you have to get us started in the area of clothing?
It's good to see you lying there in your Superman skivvies, lying on the floor. I've come undone. Are you a Weezer fan, Jay?
I mean, not as much that I know all their lyrics, because he's just sort of up there screaming, and I never, you know, it's like he can't be singing anything that important or profound. So I never.
That can be true. It's a Weezer lyric.
All right.
Superman skivvies. My word is skivvies.
Skivvies.
Yes.
Yes.
We can't sing their songs. We'll get sued.
I didn't. I made up a melody.
Skivvies. Yes.
Yes.
Which we use in the U.S. to mean underwear, right?
I do believe, yes, across a grand swath. I mean, it could mean sexy and it could mean terribly unsexy. It's still underwear.
Right. And this one is a journey, everybody.
Huh.
Yeah. So we're going to go on it together.
Buckle up.
A lot of folks suggest that this is a term from the 1930s, listed as nautical slang, but naval slang, kind of. I believe the American Navy actually calls their service underwear skivvies, like to this day. I know my dad was in the Navy and he called it that stuff for sure. But what's that?
No, I just, you gave us the answer right out of the gate. So
no.
There's gotta be something wrong with this.
No, I didn't.
Oh,
that's
right.
Not the answer.
No.
That's just,
origin.
Yeah.
All
that's
right.
When we start using this word kind of.
Gotcha.
Which is, you know, close. Michael Quinion from the, Worldwide Words. I did it. Points to the Evening State Journal of Lincoln, Nebraska. December 1918, so earlier than the 30s, as a part of a humorous piece under the headline, Boys Will Be Boys, Even in the Marine Corps. Well, boys, I believe I'll play a little golf today and not go to the office at all. I'm all run down and need a little hard physical labor, declares an athlete in the act of putting on his skivvies, as he was getting in his underwear.
Yeah.
A lot of these early examples point to the military in general, and some in the Navy specifically. The term skivvy waver is actually another name for a rank on a ship for a signalman. And this is a one who uses telegraphing flags called semaphore. Are you familiar with the semaphore?
I think I've seen these flags.
Yeah.
Cross arm, making signals.
Yeah.
Flagging it up.
It's to communicate, right, to distant vessels, essentially.
Yes.
I learned this, like, as a Boy Scout, but I don't remember any of it, so I looked it up just to, you know, I wasn't the best Boy Scout, which may or may not shock you.
No shock.
but I'll describe these semaphore flags, some that I saw, just to get a better idea as perhaps why we say skivvy waver in this sense. They're like medium-sized flags. I saw some listed at like 18 inches square. So you've got this square, and then you would divide it from the top right to the bottom left and to create two different kind of colored triangles, you know what I mean, to offset one another so you'd see specific parts of the flag.
Yes.
So they would be like these, you know, silky triangles on a flag that might resemble something else that sailors might come encounter with. We'll get to that. At the same time, I saw that they were using the word skivvy as a term for slacker, but I think they were, it was skivy, because the there is a word skive that does mean like slacker.
Really?
To die. Yeah, this is also from 1919.
That skive, sounds vaguely familiar. We did slacker.
Skive off. Like things, like that people would say that, like, oh, he's skiving off, he's shirking work. It's defined as to dodge a fatigue. The fatigue was the extra professional duties of a soldier. Sometimes allotted as punishment for misdemeanor.
Hmm. Is this related?
Yeah. No, this is just a sidebar. Where there's a lot of, you know, there's some options here, but that was one of the ones that was tossed about. Was it kind of, it might be from the word skive, although I don't see how shirking work and underwear get to each other.
I mean, if that's your challenge to go write a short story, I could put them together.
Sure, of course.
But, you know.
But there are more. Yeah. So, okay. So we're in the military service.
In the military.
And this is just, yeah. So there are servicemen who remember this term. And it's found in public print. I'm saying a term. It's coming up. Its term is found in public print, in fact. And this term, essentially, when we use it in public print, it becomes a racist term. The word that we in America use as a racist term is spelled S-K-I-B-B-Y. And servicemen,
I know this term.
Yes. Servicemen remember this from the 1900s. When America colonized the Philippines, and the servicemen thought of it to mean, to relate to just a Japanese prostitute, a sex worker, which the word comes from skebe, which is Japanese for lewd or lecherous. And this word that the sex workers may have used just isn't a part of a greeting, you know, to lure in people. It wasn't, this was not a racist term. This word is not a racist word. Specifically, you could see how Japanese sex workers saying maybe this word, thinking this word to the soldiers, the words, you know, kind of relating to sex, to women's undergarments, perhaps, where it comes into the sailing language or the nautical kind of sense. But then the racist part happens in America. Years later, we kind of generalize this to mean any Japanese person, and it's definitely derogatory. And is deeply resented by people described that way. So it's pretty racist and offensive to say the S-K-I-B-B-Y.
I'm glad I've never heard it.
Yes, same. This was all news
and
to me.
You think, or you see the I in this word being a short I, not a long I. It's I, not
yes,
I.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Because the pronunciation of the Japanese word is skebe. It's not spelled that way. It's spelled S-U-K-E-B-E-I, but I looked up several pronunciations.
It's just an edification question. It gives us no more insight, whether it's short or long, I guess. Except right. That it is closer to skivvy.
Right. I think the women's undergarments would relate in this sense. To the flags to kind of get us into that sense, right? I mean, that's not, again, like you said, short story writing, you're not really taking that hard to get that far.
Right.
So it's possible that that's where, if it did come from that word, the Japanese word, then the earliest citation kind of is, that I listed earlier, is sort of, you know, predated by, like I said, the colonization of the Philippines, which happened in the 1900s.
Well, but so flow that out. So we didn't call the underwear skivvies yet, but then this guy with the flags makes shapes that remind us of underwear, and underwear
I think,
would be these prostitutes related in that word, and then it morphs into from B's to V's?
So basically what I'm kind of, the path I'm taking here is that the sailor soldiers heard the skebe word from the sex workers, and then in turn they then just decided to call underwear that because of, you know, perhaps the sexy times.
Sure.
And then from that, then they started calling the skivvy wavers, the signalmen, skivvy wavers, because the little triangle flags perhaps look like underwear.
They didn't digest the B sound in the...
It sounds like they... They did say the other word, and at that time, when they first started saying it, it wasn't racist or pejorative. And then through, you know, through language as we do, the B became a V and skivvy became underwear.
Yeah.
Which is not racist at all.
And then the guy waving the flags was waving underwear.
Exactly. He's an underwear waver. So there's also another horrible path that we could come from, which skivvy, S-K-I-V-V-Y, is British for female servant. Made of all work is what I saw a definition, which saw is a direct, seemingly direct relation to the Italian word schivo, which translates to owned person. And I saw that the word skivvy is a synonym for slave. Yeah. So this word, kind of any road you take, you end up in a place where you don't want to say it anymore.
Comes up peanuts.
Yeah. Yes.
But why isn't it just underwear?
I mean, we do call it is underwear now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Skivvy is, but the road, it's you got to know where you came, and then you're like,
there's a lot of rocks there that was we
quotes.
Turn over.
I mean, I'm not reading the quotes because they're rough. Like it's, we have a, yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, all right then.
I mean, it's a term for a signalman on a ship. So it is a word we still use. It's up to you personally if you want to use it individually.
We got radios and stuff. We still got a guy out there with flags?
I don't know why I learned it in Boy Scouts. I'm assuming that it's a skill that one would need.
Just to kind of know it. Same as you learn Morse code, right?
You're right.
But you don't out there using
it. We do have radios.
Well, lots of them, yes.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah, someone can write it and let us know. Because I didn't look that part up.
No.
You always ask the great questions. The one that slipped through the cracks.
Down the pitch of the thing, devils.
nice.
All right.
Yes.
Well, that was something.
Clothe us on out of here.
Well, I'll take us with my clothing one is by the seat of your pants.
Ah, yes.
Yes, by the seat of your pants. Now, so do you use this? And if so, when or how do you say it or why?
By the seat of my pants. I wouldn't say it probably, but I would use it in a sense of I got out just in the nick of time. Just right, you know, right before, right?
Oh, that's what you're saying.
Out by the seat of my pants? No. It means I pulled it out of my butt. That's what I'm going to say. I got through that by the seat of my pants.
Uh-huh.
By like, you know.
Okay.
What is it for real?
Kind of like also, what's that one about skin of your teeth? That's another one like that.
Oh, man.
Right?
Yeah, what is that?
That's how I use that. Ooh, man, I got through that crowd by the skin of my teeth.
Yeah.
You know?
Narrowly.
Narrowly,
I
yeah.
got you. By the seat of my pants.
I don't know why.
I hear you.
But okay, so seat of the pants, I gotta just say, let me talk to you about it. No mystery and even less history. But it's good sometimes to get some of these simple ones just to think about it, because we might say it or you hear it or read it in books and you know basically what they're saying, mm-hmm. but maybe not why or where it came from.
Sure.
And that can be fun just to know.
I agree.
So while this explanation and etymology will be brief, not a skivvy related brief, just short. When I say brief.
Brief.
Which also probably means short. It's like short pants, right?
They're shorter pants.
Yeah.
The briefest of pants.
Look at that. So that's different from draws, though, that you draw up your legs.
Right, you draw them up.
This goes almost immediately and straightly to a pilot.
An airplane pilot.
Airplane pilot.
Okay.
Yes.
Not a television show.
Not the first episode of Frisky Dingo.
We were just talking about it. That's why I wanted to clarify.
Right. PC stands for personal computer. I just got that.
So
Douglas Corrigan, I guess some guys screwed his plane together, you know, fixed it up for, you know, with spit and glue.
Mm-hmm. Some hope.
He has no radios, etc. He sets a flight path to from Los Angeles to some field in Brooklyn, and then he's supposed to go back to Los Angeles. That's the chart that he turned in.
All right.
Or however those people do that thing, you know?
Charting his current tack.
Yeah, and getting the clearance, clearance to go where you're going.
Yeah.
But he ups and leaves Brooklyn and goes instead to Ireland.
Nuts to this.
Yeah. So there are some newspaper reports and quotes about him getting there and arriving by the seat of his pants. And this, again, there's nothing much to it. It is, if you can imagine, and someone in one of the little breakdowns or ideas about it gave this explanation. You know, if you took a four-legged stiff chair that you might sit in at the dining table, so you're sitting there in the dining room on all four legs,
sure,
and it's flat and everything's great. But if you took it out to a field on a hill and leaned it downhill and you sat there, your body wants to fall out of the chair.
Right.
Or if you leaned it and sat the other way with your back facing down the hill, you'll feel like you're going to fall over backwards, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And this is to describe the very basic idea that flying by the seat of your pants without instruments is just saying, how does gravity feel on my butt on this chair? That's the only thing I have to go on. That's the only way I know to steer this plane. Not much later, after our 1938 Douglas Corrigan flight, you know, it became even a lot more popular to have slip and skid indicators, so that if you went into a turn, your plane has a few more instruments and a little more measuring gadgets out there in the wind to say, hey, your tail, you're making this turn, but your tail is sticking out, skidding around. So you should rudder it and pull that in, make your turn more efficient. But you didn't have that before that. You had these indicators. So you can only feel more G-force pulling your butt out of the chair in the direction of the turn to know that the plane was skidding.
Huh.
So I constantly hear stuff about, like a pilot at night, without instruments, I hear that you can't tell what's up and what's down, even, you know. So in that instance, I don't really. If you can't tell that, you know, you'd be upside down against gravity. How do you not know you're upside down, but you feel these things? But this is basically telling you you feel gravity, and gravity tells you how to steer the plane, and that is all there is to. Wow. By the seat of the pants.
That's really cool, though. I did not know any like that. I wouldn't have guessed that.
I wouldn't have guessed it.
Right?
Either, no.
That's awesome.
That's why I thought. So it's simple, but it's fun.
That's, That's pretty cool.
But
I did not expect.
No other little nuggets in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing. It's just
this nothing
is
about
it.
How gravity works, or like it might not be a thing.
We could just sure do a test on, or to do a whole show on gravity. Let's say, dropping apples, but by the seat of the pants, it is what it is.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And Rebecca read these ads by the seat of her pants.
Allswell believes in the power of a good night's sleep for all. Their products feature innovative technology and unbelievable comfort and support without deflating your wallet. Combining the best of both worlds, the Allswell features hybrid mattress technology with memory foam and individually wrapped coils for a winning blend of comfort and support. Follow the link in the show notes for financing as low as 0%, a 100-night risk-free trial, free free shipping and returns, and a 10-year limited warranty designed to make good sleep accessible to all. Real luxury, unreal prices. AllswellHome.com. Whole Nine Yards is sponsored by the Roberto Clemente Museum. Located in a restored engine house in Pittsburgh's revitalized Lawrenceville neighborhood, the Clemente Museum is a showcase of the largest exhibited collection of baseball artifacts, works of art, literature, photographs, and memorabilia related to Roberto Clemente and his life in baseball. Shop the store for clothing and other items featuring the iconic 21 logo, and purchase tour tickets for the museum at ClementeMuseum.com. Enter promo code W9Y21 for a 10% discount on hats and tees. That's ClementeMuseum.com, promo code W9Y21. Whole Nine Yards is sponsored by Big Science Music. Big Science Music is a Cannes and One Show award-winning original music and sound boutique, providing scoring, sound design, radio, podcast, and audio post-production services for the advertising, film, and video industries. Big Science Music also offers ADR, casting, and project management. Big Science Music's reels, full capabilities, and more can be found at BigScienceMusic.com. That's BigScienceMusic.com.
So, I mean, so that was something.
I am fully clothed.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you're over there. You do what you want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be comfortable, right?
Yeah, I do like to be comfortable.
Yeah.
I think I have to go first, right? Yes.
Oh, yeah. And so we're going to do more clothing.
Clothing.
Right.
I'm clothing you. Hey, buddy, just keep your shirt on, okay?
Keep my shirt on. That's your thing?
Yes.
And you know what that reminds me of course. Galaxy Quest guy.
Galaxy Quest, Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
Yeah. R.I.P.
Oh, R.I.P.
Yeah. They were going to do the series and stuff on one of the streaming services I'm not going to name. But it was in the works.
Oh, that's extra sad.
I know. Galaxy Quest.
Damn.
But we're going to keep our shirts on opposed to getting them off.
Yes.
As Alan Rickman's character says.
Yes.
And when I said that to you in the way that I said, I meant, relax, we'll get through this episode together.
Which is funny. It's almost like you're the gatekeeper for the bathtub or something when you think about it. Why are you telling me to slow down and not take my shirt off just yet?
Listen, pal, there's other people bathing. We're not ready for you. You figured it out.
So I didn't just guess it, did I?
No. Okay. No. No.
Hey, we got some simple ones today.
No, we do. You're right. I wouldn't have guessed the flying one. But no, you did not guess it.
But once you hear it, it's pretty... Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. Well, like we say, there's no mystery. It's just history.
We really have to do a mnemonic.
Yeah, it's true. It needs a thing.
It'll have horns like a fanfare.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
1844. Headline. Keep your shirts on, feds. 1849, New Orleans, Louisiana. A correspondence, just someone, the Daily Delta, yeah. Sorry. The Daily Delta of 8th December, 1849. Bayou Sarah, correspondence of the Delta. You talk of the bustle and business of your beautiful Crescent City, but let me admonish thee. Keep your shirt on, for in ratio to its population, our good little village does business to an extent even greater than your modern Babel or Tyre, as in your vanity, you sometimes call it. They're saying, relax, our little burg is cool. Don't worry about it.
But why does relaxing leave my shirt on?
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. I know.
I know.
The reason why we say this is because one who is about to engage in fisticuffs would remove their shirt to not stain their blouses.
With the opponent's blood.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even still, to this day, folks often remove items from their persons before flailing at one another.
Sure.
Yeah. So this is a direct relation to, hey, Relax, man. No one wants to fight. Just keep your shirt on. 1871. Come on, he shouted. Come on, you wretch, and fight. He was so excited that he did not stammer. What for? Said I, much amazed. I'll let you know what for. You've killed my mate. Come on. And this time he was making attitudes and trying to get his shirt off, preparatory to pitching into me. Don't be an ass, I said, walking up to him. Keep your shirt on. You'll catch the death of cold. Yeah.
Now I need to know what happened. But yeah.
Yeah, that's the rest of the quote. But I didn't get that. Yeah. So much in a sense where you were saying, hey, you know, I'm like, don't be an ass. Keep your shirt on. I feel like that's one we use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we ask ourselves that, I feel like I can't remember for sure. You know, you talk all day saying stupid stuff to everybody that goes by.
Pretty much.
I don't know what I said. I might say to cut my shirt on. Not sure.
You know, I think we say it when we're joking, perhaps. You know.
Yeah. I definitely can't hear or say that one without thinking of Galaxy Quest now.
Sure.
It just tainted forever.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So that's a great movie, everybody. You should go watch it.
I see you managed to get your shirt off.
Yeah.
And that is it.
That is it. There is no mystery.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah.
Well, that's a hell of a thing. This is quite a day joyful listener out there. I mean, we just don't know sometimes.
Sure.
So we'll have our topics and we'll research.
We
so this
in.
Is a day when they are mostly, aside from Skivvy, pretty cut and dried.
Yeah.
Right?
But like you said, we go in fresh and we get, because there's those little bits.
Maybe
it was a bath time guy. It wasn't specifically this time, but perhaps next time. And I didn't know the flying thing. That's awesome.
Yeah. There's just no like three other stories to tell or anything like that. Just like, boom.
Yep.
This is it. Don't even try another thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's our last, what's the last one we got?
I'll say it is Thinking Cap.
Okay.
What was that one we had early on that was a cap that's funny?
Cap of Death?
Yeah.
Wasn't that Shebang, wasn't it?
No.
No.
It's not Shebang. It was a word.
What was it?
Kibosh. Cap of Death.
Cap of Death.
Yeah. That was a fun one.
Yeah.
That was like one of our early episodes.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to that one, hoochie mama, that's
cap
a good one.
Cap of Death.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
So yeah, we just spoiled it for you. No, but there's lots of little insight.
Yeah.
Thinking Cap.
Okay.
Is not the rich heritage of the kibosh.
All right.
You know.
Still, not an obvious guess for me personally.
No. The most fun aspect of it is that it's traceable. I mean, for one thing, look, if you were to say, okay, look, I'm going to get my crystal ball. It's like that, you know. Mm-hmm. Let me get my crystal ball out. You're not really getting out a crystal ball.
Right.
Right?
Chances are you're not. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or my time machine glasses or whatever you might say like this, right? So thinking cap, we have to really focus. So conceptually, the cap, I guess, sort of seems to fight off thoughts that would keep you from concentrating and keep you focused.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So,
like aluminum foil.
Yeah, like aluminum foil. All you right. thought those people were touched.
No.
But no.
Yeah, smart.
It was once referred to as a considering cap. Considering cap.
All right. I like the alliteration.
Yeah, but I guess it's just, I don't know, just too much for people, so it evolved.
It's a little more syllables, right? Considering, thinking.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. And then you have the C and the C.
Mm-hmm.
But that dates you way back, early 17th century.
Oh.
Just exactly what the context is, I don't know, but I often love these little elements. The cobbler puts off his considering cap. "Why, sir," says he, "I sent them home, but now..." What does that even mean?
I think I sent them home right now.
But he puts off his considering his cap.
He's no longer uncertain. No, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there it is. So the earliest record of Thinking Cap is, you know, it's mid-1800s here in the States. And that does not give you any trace of evolution or like so many of our words that may have developed in a region. Mm-hmm. And it came up, you know, you could piece all that different language together that created this thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is just more of an idea that is an obvious idea for many different cultures to come up with, like I said, like the crystal ball or whatever. Yeah. So you, all right, we got to do some thinking. Someone tried to attribute it to Sherlock Holmes, but that seems to be a weak, like that Toyota up ahead.
Like his specific hat, or that he said that?
That he said it.
Gotcha.
It just didn't happen. There's one other clever little thing, and I had, I dug in a little bit because it, you know, it was said the considering cap was explained at length in the history of Little Goody Two Shoes. So I went into there to try to enjoy that.
What is
Well, when they say explained at length, they just mean what it might appear to be.
Okay.
So in here,
almost
as large as a grenadier's cap. Well, I didn't know what that was, so I looked it up. It's that odd, I thought it might be one of those Stratego hats.
Helmet.
With the big feather going across the thing, but that's a colonel.
nice.
The grenadier's cap, though, you know it, and you know it even more because it's called a cap, because it in many ways can look like a dunce cap, or somewhere between a dunce cap and the Pope's cap, but with maybe it's made from bear fur, but in the middle of the bear fur in this big sort of curved sided arched high peak triangle is a some medallions or medals or whatever on this thing.
Yeah.
And then three-sided, which I still couldn't see, but let me, one side would say, I may be wrong. The second side may say, it is 50-1, but you are.
What?
I know. And on the third, I'll consider of it. So you're describing some convoluted version of the 8-ball.
It's a magic 8-ball hat?
Yeah.
What?
Magic 8-ball hat.
What?
But only in the world of Little Goody Two Shoes.
Okay. All right. I was so concerned.
So this particular author.
Good. Thank you for bringing me back.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Decided I will take that idea and use it and give it some more life. What I say it is what it will be for me in my book. But it is really just using that half a word that I detest so much. It is just a concept. And so...
We say conceptualization around here, folks.
Yeah.
Listen.
And the French would too, but whatever conceptualization in French is. Yeah. It is just the idea that we're going to sit down and think. It has no grand history outside of considering cap, which is lovely.
Yeah.
No great evolution or etymology traceable beyond some of those references and literature, if Little Goody Two Shoes is indeed literature.
I mean, that's an eye of the beholder, right?
Yeah. Yes. But yeah.
All right.
It's a simple day.
Considering cap. I'm going to try to bring that one in, too.
Good luck to you.
It's going to be tough because I don't usually say thinking cap that much.
I feel like every week we have one that we're like, let's bring that back. Let's use it.
Yeah, the nose count is still in my head, but I haven't had a chance to use it yet.
Yeah. Well, it's a thing like that.
And as always, I throw my tongue to the cat. I mean, that's, come on.
And that was Cat's Got Your Tongue from probably an animal.
Animals.
One.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knows which one? Whole Nine Yards Pod on the Twitter.
Yes.
And the Redfin.
Reddit.
Reddit.
Yes.
And what else?
Instagram. Yes. And Whole Nine Yards Podcast.
On the Facebook.
Yeah.
And that's us for this week. Very simple ones for the most part. 3 out of 4 ain't.
No, still rich though.
Yeah. Oh yeah, rich.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something.
I love that guy, but I don't.
All right, so yeah, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ray.
And we're not idioms. I got a little
Alan
salt
Rickman.
Whole Nine Yards is written, recorded, and produced by Big Science Pods. Learn more at wholenineyards.org or contact Whole Nine Yards by emailing heyu@wholenineyards.org. That's heyu@wholenineyards.org. Whole Nine Yards theme music composed by Big Science Music.